Hi guys, thank you so much for coming back and listening to the Gadgets Africa podcast. My name is Anthony Unamu and I will be your host for today. First of all, before we continue with our topic of the day, we just want to thank everyone who listens to our podcast, for the people who suggest, for the commenters, for the lovers, for the haters, for the people who tag us on social media. We just want to thank you for everything that you've done for us. This is our 7th podcast so far and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So now today in this podcast, we want to get into more of the photography scene, and we're going to do that with the help of two very qualified people in their fields. Just humbly speaking, we've got Lawrence from the KCAA. He's a representative from the KCAA, and then we have Mr. Craig Cleave. He is, for lack of a better word, a specialist in the drone industry. And we just want to basically talk about what a drone is, what it means to own a drone, why drones are so important in the country, regulations, and basically the future of drones in Kenya. So first, I think we'll start with Mr. Craig, and he'll tell us a little bit about himself, what he does, and we'll continue from there. Craig?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. My name's Craig Cleave. I'm the managing director of Kendrone, which is a drone training and commercial drone service provider here in Kenya. Mm-hmm. I was born here in Mombasa, where I am at the moment, and schooled here. After that, I began my commercial career in aviation in a rather unusual way as a hang gliding instructor down in South Africa.
Wow.
And from there I moved on to do my commercial and airline license. Mm-hmm. And after a few years moved up to become a pilot with Kenya Airways for a few years. And after leaving Kenya Airways, I moved into more management roles in aviation, manned aviation. And in more recent years, I've been getting more and more involved in the drone industry. And in fact, for the last 3.5 years, I have not been flying manned aviation. I've just purely been focusing on the drone sector. Mm-hmm. And hence the creation of Kendrone and the training facilities around the country, Mombasa, Nairobi, and Naivasha. Mm-hmm. And the commercial services that we offer, which are primarily industrial, in the sense that we do mapping and survey and inspections of factories, and yeah, as well as reconnaissance operations.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Lawrence. You can go ahead with your introduction.
Yes, good morning. My name is Lawrence Amokono. An officer at the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority. I'm responsible for continuous monitoring for safety oversight. Basically, I coordinate the regulatory aspects of the authority being a regulatory entity. We are involved in regulation of the aviation industry. So my work is to coordinate the safety oversight part of the regulations. My career in aviation started in 1997. I joined the then Director of Civil Aviation as an air traffic control cadet. I trained as an air traffic controller. I hold an air traffic controller's license. I practiced air traffic control up to until 2008, when I left active air traffic control practice and became an aerodromes inspector, responsible for certification and licensing of airports and ensuring compliance with the regulations. Then up to around 2013 is when I became the coordinator for safety oversight. So that is my background in aviation. Mm-hmm. And as part of the job in terms of coordination for safety oversight, I'm involved in development of the technical regulations for aviation, hence my involvement with drones, because when the drone issue came up, we started working on the drone regulations in 2015.
Yeah.
So like Craig must have told you earlier in the chat you had, it has been a long journey. We've walked the journey. We had a set of regulations come out for one reason or another, they were annulled by Parliament, which is procedural. It's within their mandate. Mm-hmm. But we then went back and redid the regulations, and we got the current set of regulations approved in March of this year. So we are in the implementation phase. It's one thing to write the regulations. The implementation is a different story altogether. So that's where we are. And I hope by the end of this podcast, we'll have shed some light on the processes that the CAA has taken.
And
the expectations we have in the implementation.
Thank you so much. So then I think we'll just start with you. And we'll start with just a simple question. What is a drone, or how would you as a KCAA define a drone? Because I've seen people, you know, go to YouTube and see those hacks where I can just connect a GoPro to my electric helicopter or something like that, or remote helicopter, and then I can use that as a drone, and people call that a drone. So how would you define a drone?
The International Civil Aviation Organization, which is the global body, focuses on what we call remotely piloted aircraft systems, where remotely piloted aircraft system is the equipment, the aircraft itself that flies without a pilot on board, and any associated systems that support that operation. So if your controls are on your computer or are in a handheld control, remote control gadget, the whole of that system is what we classify as remotely piloted aircraft system.
Okay.
Now, the focus when we changed the regulations from remotely piloted aircraft systems to unmanned aircraft systems, we then brought into the ambit of the regulations the whole host of flying equipment that can be manipulated, controlled remotely without a pilot on board. So that is the aspect or the envelope with which we want to define the drone. Any equipment capable of taking flight, but without a pilot on board and controlled remotely. Now, the means and manner of control is what you're saying. You can hook up an app and plug it up and take it airborne. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. The next question will be just to you, Lawrence, again. Assuming I buy a drone for about like 60,000, what steps should I take to make sure I'm legally using it in the country based on the new regulations that have been set up?
So there are two things on the table here. It depends where first you buy your drone from.
Yes.
So if you're buying your drone from out of the country, you'll have to import it into the country.
Okay.
Now, the regulations have provided for what we call acquisition of an import permit. So the intention is you have to notify of the drone you want to import, obtain an import permit for that drone to allow you to bring it in. Why do we want to control import? It is because the drones are versatile and drones are wide application.
It would be
unfair for us to allow you to import a drone only for it to arrive in Kenya, and we tell you this drone cannot be used in Kenya for the following reasons.
Yes.
So we would like to be able to intervene at the beginning, and if you are importing a drone into Kenya, we clear it for import. So that's step one. After you've imported the drone, then you register it with the Civil Aviation Authority. After you've registered a drone, the next step is you get authorization for the activity you want to undertake. So it is basically those three steps. If it is from out of the country, if you already have the drone in the country right now as we speak, all you have to do is to come to the CAA and register it, and then wherever you want to use it, you seek authorization. So I'll give you an example. You are probably a researcher who wants to use your drone to conduct research of the level of deforestation of a certain forest. So all you have to do is, once you've registered the drone, you identify the area where you want to fly your drone. You come to the authority and say, I want to operate my drone at this place, at this altitude, on these dates, at these times. Then the authority will be able to assess the risks involved in your operation. If we do not have risks that are significant in nature, you will obtain your approval and you can operate your drone. Now, with regard to charges, we have recently, after the publication of the regulations, we developed draft charges. The law requires that anything we levy as the Civil Aviation Authority must be approved by the Cabinet Secretary. Okay. And before we take the Cabinet Secretary proposals for charges, we must undergo through a process. So we went through a process of stakeholder engagement. Within this COVID environment, we were not able to call for physical meetings, but we published the regulation, the draft charges. And for you to get an import permit, you need 3,000 shillings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For you to register, you need 3,000 shillings. So for this 60,000 shilling drone, if you have 66,000 shillings, you have your drone with you, imported, registered, and good to go. Now, for purposes of use, if you are going to use this drone for your own private activity, you want to take photos of your family on a holiday, it's your own business, you want to survey your farm, it is 2,000 shillings, then you'd undertake the activity. If you are taking the drone to use it for any commercial activity where you receive reward or hire, somebody gives you a contract to take photos at their wedding, somebody gives you a contract to surveil their farm, it is 2,500 per undertaking.
Mm.
And you can see from a drone operator perspective, the charges relating to operations, the 2,500, the 2,000, is transferable to your clients. And we've tried to make it as minimal as possible.
Okay. It doesn't sound as expensive as most of us thought. So it's good to get that out.
I think to just clarify, the assumption, we know the assumption of a lot of the public is when we put charges out, that all charges we publish apply to everybody.
Yes.
They don't.
Yeah.
Because like my friend, Craig, who wants to run a school, he will have to part with 80,000 shillings first for us to certify the school. And then beyond that, his charges are fairly on the normal side of business because he'll register the drone at the same charges, he'll get authorization at the same charges. Yeah.
We'll go to Ken and you can tell us maybe the earliest you remember that you ever brought a drone into the country, or even the latest, and how the process was for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first, possibly the sort of the first drone that I brought into Kenya was really just a toy, a little bit bigger than the size of a matchbox many, many years ago. And you know, that was just a matter of I was traveling overseas, and I came in the country with it in my hand luggage, and there was no issue there. But I think what we're really talking about is in terms of regulations. So back in 2017, when the 2017 regulations were published, we applied to import several drones with the KCA. So we applied for the import permits, and it was a process. I think it was right at the beginning, it was a learning curve for the KCA and for us, because not many people had done that sort of an application before. So there was a lot of information required by the KCA. It was fairly, relatively cumbersome process. But yeah, we managed to get some import permits and brought in some drones back in under the 2017 regulations.
Yeah.
So once with regulations in place, there is no real issue. And I think under the new 2020 regulations, KCA has more experience, and the fee structures, or at least the draft that we've seen, and the stakeholders and public were asked to comment on, are far more reasonable than they were under the 2017 regulations. So I don't see any problem. I think the regulations will make it, will streamline it. And it's really, hopefully the KCA's administrative channels will be in place. And it'll all be relatively straightforward, so long as you comply, understand and comply with the regulations.
In light of drones and everything, to Mr. Lawrence, say I'm bringing a drone, like my own drone, maybe I'm flying into the country, what regulations am I supposed to follow? Because I remember, I think there was a videographer who came in with a drone to Kenya, and he had a bit of a hustle, staying with it and keeping it and using it actually in the country. So what regulations are there for someone who's bringing in a drone that they already own to the country?
Now, this is where we are looking at even conducting a lot of stakeholder sensitization and education. Mm-hmm. In the aviation world, an aircraft belongs or has a state.
Yeah.
An aircraft normally has a nationality.
Yes.
So if you have a drone that you're bringing in, which is already registered in another state,
yes,
you need not register it here.
Mm.
Provided that in the operation of that drone, you'll comply with the rules and regulations here, as well as the rules and regulations applicable to the state of registry. Now, there is a dicey situation in that scenario where the local drone enthusiasts need to be protected.
Yes.
So if you are bringing in a drone that is registered in the UK, for example, and you want to undertake some business in Kenya, you realize that there is a chance that you could be taking away Kenyan business.
Yes.
So in the regulations, we have provided for something we call temporary import.
Mm.
Where if Craig has a business or a task that he wants to be undertaken, and the available capacity in Kenya is unable to undertake that task, and it is necessary to hire a specialized drone operator from out of the country, then we will issue that drone operator a temporary permit that allows them to undertake that task here, and upon completion, the drone must leave.
Yes.
So that is crafted specifically to protect the development of drone capacity in Kenya. Okay. As we grow, we would have tasks where we are unable to service because of our capacity. But if somebody is bringing in a drone they already own from elsewhere, like I said, when you are out of the country and you want to buy a drone, you only have to submit a request for an import permit. We have also developed an online portal. The drone processing issues are going to be processed online. We will not be doing paper business. That means if you are touring China, for example, and you bump into a drone you like, you can simply go online very fast and do the application from there. We process it while you are there. And when you come with the document already issued to you. So anybody coming in would know our rules and go onto our website in advance.
Yeah.
Just the way you pre-apply for visa, you pre-apply for all these issues.
Yes.
Pre-apply for the drone authorization. And when you arrive and you have your authorization, there would be no hassle. I want just to point on what Craig has said. The biggest hassle was establishing systems. He will tell you, when we started, there was a requirement to get a clearance from the Ministry of Defense. And some of the earlier applicants were at a loss trying to go to Ministry of Defense.
Yes.
What we have done now is simplified. You simply apply to us. Give us all the details. If we need security clearance on your name, we will do the government agency thing. So you won't know where we go for the clearance, but we will seek for the security clearance on your name, provided we have all your details in the correct format. Okay? So we are trying to make it a one-stop shop. You deal with KCA, KCA deals with any other government agency that would be interested in drone issues.
Okay, that sounds
And Ferry, just easy. To comment a little bit on what you mentioned about people who've tried to bring drones in and have
fought.
And I think there was the case you're talking about, a character who made quite a lot of media noise about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. He was trying to bring a drone in illegally. He was not following any sort of procedures, he was not following the process, and probably not, perhaps not intentionally, but perhaps because he just did not know what the situation with regulations were. At the time, there was a prohibition to operate drones. So if there's a prohibition, you can't import. Therefore, he came short. So now that the new regulations are published and the administrative channels are almost complete, as Lawrence is saying, it'll become streamlined, and so long as you follow the procedures, there should be no problem.
So Lawrence, Craig had talked about toy drones, so do they still apply to the same regulations? Because if you go to, for example, AliExpress right now, or even Jumia, I'm sure you'll get some toy drones for about 5,000-6,000 Kenyan shillings, 10,000, you know. So do they apply to the same regulations, or is that different?
The challenge with that terminology, toy drone, is where do you draw the line? Okay. Initially, when we issued the 2017 regulations, we said a toy is considered any drone below 2 kilos and unable to carry a camera or any imaging or sensing device. Okay. So basically a dummy aircraft.
Yes.
But go to Jumia, go to, forget about Jumia, even my local petrol station in the tuck shop.
Yes.
I'll find a drone there with a camera capable of being stabilized.
Yes.
Such that if I throw that camera up, the image it will bring will be very good, high definition and stabilized.
Yes.
Now, some people would even employ artificial intelligence and have much, much smaller drones, like what Craig says, the size of a matchbox.
Yes.
With very, very far-reaching implications.
Yes.
Thermal imaging and all that kind of a thing. So what is a toy drone? To me, it then becomes very difficult to draw the line in the sand. However, the Civil Aviation Authority has taken deliberate steps in the development of the regulations to clarify, to classify and categorize the use. Okay? So we run away from the equipment for a moment, and we say we want to categorize the use. So we say category A are low risk operations. Where you are operating in a segregated environment. Category B has a slightly more risks, and category C is high risk. So wherever you have a drone, the first question we look at ourselves is, what is its capability? When we discover its capability is in such a manner that it poses a certain degree of risk, then we get interested in it. The same regulations have given KCA the discretion to exclude certain things. So as we go along and as we learn about these drones and as we realize what the issues are regarding drones, what you are calling toy drones would probably eventually, with a mature system, be able to get more relaxed requirements, provided they are not applied in a manner that poses a risk. Because it would be a toy drone if it's in the hands of Onamu doing his own thing in his compound. But in the hands of another guy who knows it as a camera, can fly it over the compound of the neighbor and spy on what's going on in that compound, it changes the mining completely. It's no longer a toy. It's now a gadget used for other things. So that is the dicey, it's a very thin line that we are treading. But we are saying, with adequate sensitization, even to importers and of drones and retailers and sellers of drones, with adequate knowledge of the regulations, we can easily begin to remove those that pose no risk from the ambit of the regulations.
Okay, that sounds pretty reasonable. Okay, so to Mr. Craig, so now we're assuming we have the drone, we've registered it, and now we want to start flying. You talked about it taking about probably like weeks before you can be capable of flying it, let's say professionally. So why does it take that amount of time?
So to get your remote pilot's license, so under the Kenyan our regulations, you either need to have a certificate, a remote certificate, which will allow you to fly at established sites where there's airspace has been segregated, especially for the use of drones. So perhaps at training organizations or maybe drone clubs where you can go and fly at those sites, which is great. But I think for the majority of people, you want to be able to travel around and capture different sort of scenes, and being limited to one site is isn't going to cut it. So most people will have to do their RPL, remote pilot's license, so that they can now operate in the higher categories, or category B, or perhaps even C. So your remote pilot's license is, we're waiting for the exact training requirements from the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority. They're they're finalizing the documentation on that, which we hope to have soon. But the expectation is it'll take between 1 to 2 weeks to do a remote pilot's license course. Why it takes that length of time? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of academic understanding. We must appreciate that drones fall into aviation. As Laurent said, you know, aircraft have a state, and they're registered. They're registered aircraft. Mm-hmm. So you need to understand a lot of manned aviation principles, and you need to understand the regulations. The regulations are really there to empower the drone sector, but need to create safety, security, and privacy for all Kenyans. Anyone flying a drone needs to be trained so that they can ensure that they're doing things, that they understand the regulations, they're doing things in a safe manner, in a secure manner, and they're not infringing on people's privacy. So there's a significant academic section to the training. Mm-hmm. And then there's the hands-on training, which these days most sophisticated drones, consumer drones, are becoming extremely easy to fly. They're highly stabilized and autonomous. However, those levels of sophistication and stability can break down in certain circumstances. So you lose satellite signal, for example. Now you've got no GPS. This thing doesn't know where it is. You still need to be able to control that drone. So there's a skill level that you need to reach, where until you've reached that level, you might be able to fly the thing very, very proficiently under ideal circumstances. But if something goes wrong, that's where you need the skill to be able to bring this drone back in a controlled manner and land it in a safe way. That 2 weeks at the moment is an estimate. We're waiting for the final training requirements, which we hope to have fairly soon, in the very near future, and then we can work out how long is it going to take to train. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Some countries looking outside of Kenya, some countries the training takes a couple of days, 2 to 3 days. And other countries it takes 4 or 5 weeks. So we'll see where we fall in that sort of range.
Okay. Sounds good. So to Mr. Lawrence, so we are assuming now we've done everything and we've got that RPL and we're set and we're flying. So take us through maybe the places where it's, let's call it illegal to fly your drone. Of course, maybe you can't say everywhere. We'll try and link the regulations down here so that everyone can, like, you know, check and see where exactly they can fly. But I'm sure there are a few places which are on top of that list that you can mention. And then also to follow up on that, say I get caught, one, without regulations or without the certificates and everything, and two, I get caught probably flying in those areas. What steps will be taken by the KCAA or whoever catches me in that scenario? What are the implications that I will fall under?
So first, I'll scare you by telling you you cannot fly the drone anywhere. Then we begin now to...
And we continue.
We begin to break it down.
Yes.
I'll take over from where Craig left with the training. And one of the things that we are putting in the training requirements is to understand the aviation geography.
Yeah.
Understanding the aviation geography allows you to know the location of certain key critical issues. And one of the things we have in our regulations are prohibited airspaces, restricted airspaces, and danger airspaces. These are airspaces that exist in the Kenyan airspace setup that bear those conditions. A good example is national installation like state houses and state lodges. Those are prohibited airspaces. There's an airspace around every state lodge that you are not allowed to fly even a manned aircraft.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we teach you aviation geography, we will show you where all these airspaces are.
Okay.
Then we have restricted airspaces. Airspaces where operations can be undertaken, but under certain conditions. We also have danger airspaces where operation is restricted because of ongoing activity in those airspaces that is dangerous to additional aviation activity. Of course, top on the list after that is within certain distances of airports. Why am I saying certain distances? Different airports have different characteristics. So you'll find the prohibited airspace around Jomo Kenyatta, because a very big airport, is at a longer distance than prohibited airspace around Malindi, for example.
Yes.
So we want to protect the airports, so that we protect potential for collision between drones and manned aircraft, and therefore we place restrictions around airports, and it's in the regulations. The other issues with other places where we are placing restrictions, and I'm saying restrictions because when it's a restriction, it means it can only be done under certain conditions.
Yes.
Are places like around police stations, around schools, around hospitals, around power plants, around prisons, for obvious reasons. So if you look at the regulations, those areas are determined.
Yeah.
And whenever we get an application, we can always address it. I'm saying restrictions because we would like a situation where a school is in session and there are drones buzzing all over. Of course, they disrupt the learning environment.
True.
But at the same time, if me and you have a concert or an event at a school premise, outside school hours, we can get authorization. So the school is a restricted place because authorization can only be granted with conditions. Hospitals are restricted because we might have clever chaps who will decide they want to deliver medical supplies and those kind of things using drones. So we cannot outrightly prohibit hospitals, but we restrict so that if a drone is going to be allowed in that environment, it must have a valid reason why it's there. So there are a host of places that we have restricted, as I've outlined. And where I say restriction, it means there is possibility for operating there, provided there is justification, any risks are mitigated, and those issues. Okay. Now, if you look at our civil aviation and manned aircraft system regulations, they have penalties.
Yes.
And the penalties are categorized as A or B. Okay? Where one of them is severe compared to the other. And I think the penalties are also aligned with the penalties outlined in the Civil Aviation Act.
Yeah.
That is 2 million and 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are found to have violated any provisions of the regulations, either you are operating a drone that is not registered, you are operating a drone without the necessary training and qualification requirements, you are operating a drone in an environment where it is prohibited, restricted, without lawful authority, you are operating a drone, any of those issues, then the nature of your violation will be assessed based on the applicable regulation. And there are two things we do. We can go the administrative of justice way, where you are arrested and taken to court and prosecuted. And once the case is proved, the penalty apply. So the judge will say a 2 years or 6 months imprisonment or both, depending on what the judge says.
Yeah.
But because we are a regulatory authority, the law also allows us to administer the penalty. So you come to KCA, with your violation, and we assess it. Once it is proven, we will administer a penalty that is not will not match one-on-one, because what's in the law is administered when the justice process is in the judicial process. We might have then to use an administrative process within the CAA where we will take action. In the same regulation, the CAA has been given powers to impound drones, to all those other prohibitive natures. If you are a licensed person and you are violating the regulations, we can suspend your license. So that we have a host of interventions we can put in place to prohibit this. And before you ask, I'll preempt this and say, one of the tools that the CAA is putting in place is an unmanned aircraft management system, which is able to detect what is happening. So how will we know you have violated the regulations by flying your drone in a school somewhere in Turkana and we are not there? We will know because of our unmanned aircraft management system, because we will know the sites where the schools are and those kind of things. So when we find you in a site and we cannot find an authorization for that site, then we know you are a violator.
People should be careful. Okay. Mr. Craig, you can tell us maybe your experiences with using a drone in Kenya, like for example, probably your best experience using a drone and maybe your worst experience using a drone, and then we can continue from there.
All right. Super good question. I think let's start with the worst experience with drones in Kenya. And I'd have to say it was the annulment or cancellation of the 2017 regulations, because at that point I had dropped everything I was doing. I'd quit my job. I sold one of my companies that I was running part-time, and I invested my life savings into the drone training organization and the commercial drone company, only for that dream to be sort of shattered. and it's almost 3 years later, and we're hoping to start soon, but a very long road. So that, I have to say, that's certainly been one of the worst experiences in terms of drones in Kenya that I've had. Tough one. But some of the best experiences. I'm a very passionate FPV pilot. FPV stands for first person view. And that is when you fly a racing drone or a drone equipped with a forward facing camera, and you see what the drone is doing through a set of goggles. Mm-hmm. And I like to fly FPV with racing drones. So they're fully aerobatic, very fast. And the exhilaration of flying underneath trees or through a forest at 120 kilometers per hour, and you see this through the goggles if you're on board, is very, very special. So certainly flying the FPV drones in beautiful parts of the country has been rather special. And I would also say, about a year ago now, I think it was October last year, I did a lecture for an outfit called Think Young.
Yeah.
And it was a group of youngsters who were doing a weekend course on coding, computer programming. Mm-hmm. And I was invited to do a lecture on computer programming and drones. I have a diploma in computer programming, and so I did this lecture, and I was absolutely amazed at the level of sophistication that some of these kids had when it came to coding.
Yeah.
Their level of understanding and their passion for it. It was brilliant to see so many young minds so keen and so involved and engaged by coding and by drones. And then I have to mention we were doing some work at a private ranch where they were having very significant problems of people creating charcoal illegally on the ranch. It's a very large ranch with not much access or roads, and it was causing problems for the ranch, but also for the erosion. Because of this illegal charcoal harvesting, was creating landslides onto these main roads. Mm. So we went up, took the drones up for a couple of days, and we identified the position of all of these illegal charcoal manufacturing spots, and gave those coordinates to rangers, so that they could go and resolve this issue.
Yeah,
and on the way back, we heard over the radio, the rangers' radio. There was the zebra, which had a snare caught around its foot. So it got caught in a snare trap, and then the snare had snapped off. And so we thought, well, let's put the drones up and see if we can spot this thing. And we did. We found it.
Wow.
Limping through the shrubs. So we got the Kenya Wildlife Rangers in, and they darted it, and we managed to help them cut the snare off and treat the wound. The zebra ran off, so that was fantastic to be able to First of all, be involved in a program where, you know, we're stopping illegal charcoal production.
Charcoal production, yeah.
All of the issues that it was creating,
not
just environmental, but actually causing, you know, huge traffic issues on the main road.
Yeah.
Because of the erosion. But then also, just as a bonus, to be able to help this giraffe, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, those are some of the great experiences that I've had.
Yeah.
And I hope we get to do more and more of this sort of stuff. You know, in, with the KCA as our regulator and our administrator, I'm sure they're very 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 happy to let people you know, continue on with that sort of work.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. It brings a lot of possibilities to what we can use drones for. So I think
it's such a diverse technology. I mean, people use drones for fishing. You know, they take their fishing line out on a lake with a drone
and
put exactly where they want it. People use drones for medical deliveries. It's a pretty diverse and useful technology. But it does make it, because of diversity, it does make it fairly complicated for regulators. Although I think, as Lawrence mentioned, at the moment we have three categories, and those will definitely expand, and hopefully we'll have an inclusion of what you're calling a toy category, or maybe perhaps a sub-weight category, as have been in many other countries. Sub 250 grams is common in many countries.
It's
a fairly unregulated category. But we'll get there. We need to make a start, and I think that's about to happen in Kenya after the long delays. I think we're almost there, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too. Okay, so I think we'll have a few, maybe like two final questions to each of you. So to Lawrence, the last two questions will be, there was a question about how old should I be, or can I be, to own and operate a drone in Kenya? And then I think the one Mr. Craig has been really waiting for, when can we expect these regulations to, you know, to take place? Because we've been waiting for a long time. Some of us have been holding off on buying drones just because of this. So how old do you need to be, and when can we expect the regulations to be set?
Yeah, so I'll first of all talk about the ownership. Ownership of a drone has been defined in the regulation as you have to be a Kenyan. If you're not an adult, then somebody else can, you know, the normal way a minor can own property.
Yeah.
I think the same laws apply. And of course, if you are or a company or a government agency. So basically the age is 18. The license to operate a drone, we put it a bit higher. We put it at 18 because we thought drones, being very versatile and being very new, they come with a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, unlike manned aviation, Craig will tell you at 16 you can get a private pilot's license.
Yes.
But with this one, we put a bit higher because of the implication of the equipment that is being is being regulated here. So we put at 18. So that is, those are the rules around the ownership and operations of a drone. However, like Craig has also said, you know, we have categorized the drone use. So we made category A, B, C, D. I think somebody as young as 5 can operate a drone within given conditions. So if you're operating in category A, like these guys who want to go and do drone racing and those kind of activities. Some of them actually happening indoors within an enclosed environment.
Exactly.
And the young kids are particularly very good at that. So provided the person holding the authorization for that activity is responsible, then the age restrictions then would not be an issue in that environment. So they can always work out and justify to the authority how they intend to ensure there is control in that environment. Then the responsibility and liability transfers to you, who has the authorization to run the drones in that environment.
Okay.
Now, with regard to implementation of drone regulations, you realize the regulations make requirements.
Yes.
Requirements on their own do not implement themselves.
Yeah.
So, in an environment like ours, we need to have enabling infrastructure, enabling processes and procedures to allow us implement the unmanned aircraft system regulations effectively. I like drawing parallels with the Constitution. We passed the Constitution in 2010, and there were sets of acts of Parliament that had to be put in place to operationalize the Constitution, so to speak.
Yeah.
So similarly, there are sets of processes and procedures that have to be put in place to operationalize the drone regulations. What we have been doing, we initially had a thought of coming up with a manual of implementing standards, which we realized would be very comprehensive, detailed, and take longer to produce. So what we are thinking right now is production of an aeronautical information circular, which targets specific topics that can guide the process of implementation of the regulations. Now, this document should be out, if I'm not mistaken, not beyond this month. August should be our cutoff point for production of that document that can be able to tell a person who wants to use drones for training, for example, like Craig is running at school, what are the issues, like the syllabus, the content, the processes of training a drone pilot. If you want to talk to people who want to import drones for purpose of resale, again, we will have those topics addressed in the document. So the document is 70-80% done, and my colleagues in the office are working hard to make sure that they turn it around as fast as possible, and then we can be able to look at the same sets of processes. The regulations make the requirements, but then now we want to have sets of processes and procedures that can allow us to be able to effectively implement the regulations. So we have had a bit of a drag because of the prevailing situation. I think it's easy now to blame everything on COVID, but not to blame on COVID, but to say it takes a bit of a while to put up a process or a procedure that is credible. You know, the challenge with doing the procedures is that you do not want to appear to introduce new requirements in the procedures. You must remain faithful to the requirements established in the regulations.
Yeah.
So it can be a little bit of a back and forth to do the process and procedures, but they're soon coming out. The automated platform for application of drone registration, drone importation, and everything is very much on board, and I think we'll roll it out very soon. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. So to Mr. Craig, I think you can just give a final word on what you think the Kenyan, what do you think you can do, or what do you think the KCA can do to help the Kenyan industry, especially for drones, you know, be able to grow and grow to the aspects that we expect of it?
The KCA are finalizing the AIC that will now really start rolling out the beginnings of the administrative administration of these regulations. And I can only urge them to, you know, to put as much effort as they can to get that done quickly, because it has been a 3-year delay. You know, and the draft, the 2019 draft from a year ago and the 2020 regulations are not that different. So let's hope that a lot of thought has already gone into the administration. But the KCA, I think, are very ready to help empower the sector. These are risk-based regulations, so they don't say no. They say, tell us how you can do it safely, and we'll consider it, which is fantastic. I just, I'd urge everybody to comply with the regulations, because that's how we're going to build a safe industry. That's how we're going to progress. I think it starts with training. Safety very often starts with training. I do hope that this issue of the age being 18 doesn't impact the grassroots of drones. You know, a lot of people like to, as youngsters, like to build remote control aircraft and fly them. That's
true.
As fast as a drone.
True.
So yeah, I mean, in closing, we've got less than a minute. I'd just like to say thank you to everyone, and let's get these regulations out so the industry can really begin in Kenya. I think it'll be a huge benefit to the country.
Exactly, yeah. So thank you so much for joining us, and should the regulations come out soon, we'll probably have another part two of this, and then we'll talk more in depth of how we can grow this in the country. So yeah, thank you so much. And when it's out, I'll send you the links and you can be able to share it with people who are concerned. Thanks again.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.